Thursday, July 2nd, Lucy's 17th birthday. 17th was a very special year with me, the year when I began falling in love with somebody new each April. And now Lucy at 17 is a real beauty and very much more grown up and very much more female than I was at 17. While Leonard and I were having breakfast in bed, we got her to come in and join us. And I showed her the nightgown and robe outfits I had bought between which she was to choose, and found to my chagrin that the hairpiece, which was a very private, personal, and not to be told to the press gift, had been delivered to her bedroom instead of mine, so she knew all about it. That was to keep her from borrowing mine, which he's been doing on all sorts of special occasions. Later in the day, Lyndon sent her a sweet note and a yellow rose, and Lucy and Linda and I had lunch in my bedroom with a birthday cake made by Zephyr, a lemon cake with 18 candles on it, one to grow on, which she blew out and then cut, realizing that she'd have to take it down later in the day to show to the press her birthday pictures with a large hunk cut out of it. In the afternoon, I signed mail and autographed pictures and got Miss Chappewicki to work on my back with its peculiar ailment, and pondered whether or not the succession of the day's events would result in our going to Texas. So I got Helen to pack a bag for me in case we went, and one for Lyndon. Alerted Linda to the possibility of our going, and she decided that she had better catch the plane tomorrow, the backup plane. There's no question of Lucy going, because Stafford and Anne Hutchinson are having a birthday party for her tonight, and then she has a weekend full of plans. July is really my month off, and the last few days of June, and one of the announcements of my independence was going out to the Alney with Lucy, and there'll probably be a lot more of them. Bridge, movies, plays with Linda, maybe even a trip to see President Truman's library. A story that I like best about Lucy's birthday said that she was glad to have a day off to sleep late and wash my hair. But, on the other hand, she said that her job as an optometric assistant to Dr. Kreskin is just as thrilling, and I couldn't ask for anything better. She plans to become a medical assistant working in cancer research. That's great. I couldn't ask for anything better. And way there in the background of the day, very present in my mind, and I'm sure in Lyndon's mind, was the fact that it's not only Lucy's 17th birthday, but the 9th birthday of his, Lyndon's, serious heart attack. For the first few years, we passed those milestones, stepping softly with great trepidation. Now we act almost as though it had not been, though Lyndon and I will not forget. In the middle of the afternoon, the big news of the day, the big news of the last 6 months, and perhaps of the year, took place. Civil rights bill passes House. LBJ's signature makes it a law today. The House voted final congressional passage of an historic civil rights bill today, and President Johnson arranged to sign it into the law of the land within a matter of hours. The vote was 289-126. One of the interesting commentaries came from Representative Weltner of Georgia, a moderate who 2 years ago ousted segregationist James Davis from the seat he held for the Atlanta area. Weltner said he could have voted no today with tradition and safety, but he declared, "I believe a greater cause can be served. Change, swift and certain, is upon us, and we in the South face some difficult decisions. We can offer resistance and defiance with their harvest of strife and tumult. We can suffer continued demonstrations with their wake of violence and disorder, or we can acknowledge this measure as the law of the land. We can accept the verdict of the nation." He added, "I will add my voice to those who seek reasoned and conciliatory adjustment to a new reality." It's a pretty courageous decision for him. At 6:30, there was a ceremony in the East Room, a signing of the Civil Rights Bill, complete with TV, with all the leaders of the Congress lined up behind Lyndon as he signed the bill with some several scores of pens. Each one could hardly have gotten to do one single letter. Mike Mansfield, Dirksen, Hale Boggs, the Attorney General, everybody in the legislative branch on the enforcement branch who were concerned with the bill were present. It was a very dramatic occasion and a really magnificent televised statement by Lyndon. An odd thing, when he finished, Hubert Humphrey went up to see if he could get the copy that he had read from to keep for some historic purpose, and it had vanished. Milling around in the crowd, some of the newspaper women asked me, I think it was a woman representing some Negro paper, what I thought of it, and I said my mind went back to the bill of 1957, and all those nights, many, many, many nights, something like 37 nights, when Lyndon had spent on a cot in the Capitol, and I had taken hot meal after hot meal and change of clothes after change of clothes down to him. And so this was just one step in a long chain of steps. As I had slipped quietly into a seat, I had particularly noticed the Attorney General sitting on the front row and wondered what was going on in his mind. This bill that his brother had sponsored so ardently, had pinned so much hope on, that he himself had pushed, and had finally come to passage, I believe, with the earnest, dogged help of Lyndon. I watched the Attorney General's impassive face and the very measured clapping of his hands, which would not have disturbed a gnat sleeping calmly in his palm. I left the East Room feeling that I had really seen something start in this nation's history, fraught with much good and much troubles. And then I began to wonder what happened next. There was several hours of wrapping up business, and a call from Lyndon as though he'd just thought of it. What do you think? We might just get off to Texas tonight. I was all for it. I was every bit ready. Willie Day standing by to chaperone Lucy, bags packed. We had a bite of dinner. And finally, at 10:30, with a high sense of elation, the best sense of achievement, I think, that we've had in this job, because the last week has really been a productive one, the last 2 weeks, signing the Civil Rights Bill, the Foreign Aid Bill, a goodly mass of legislation accomplished. We got on the chopper on the South Lawn about 10:30. Lyndon and I, Bill Moyers, Vicky, our Secret Service, and then to Andrews, and then to fly to the ranch. We went in the Jet Star, so we didn't even have to stop in Austin, but could land right at the ranch. It was a short trip, a good nap, and then that sense of adventure and youth and release, the perfect beginning for a vacation. We landed at the LBJ Ranch about midnight Texas time, 2 o'clock stomach time, and into bed with one of those nights that does not think about tomorrow. A wonderful sense of euphoria, rarely attained.